Reset. That's what we need to do, particularly after a challenging year like 2020 was. And 2021 is kind of like we're tiptoeing. We're a little nervous. We're not quite sure what the year may bring. And, you know, it may bring some further disruptions. And so to prepare for that, what we're doing as individuals and what we're doing as a church is we're taking a moment to reset. In terms of our Connect groups, you heard Pastor Marichelle talk about the fact that we're beginning our Connect groups again, and we're wanting to reset with our Connect groups. And so second term, we're going to have some exciting initiatives being introduced with new groups that are going to start to give us the opportunity to connect in varied ways across the spectrum of our church. So get on board, get in the back today, make sure you sign up for term one with Connect groups. If you're not in involved, it's as easy as going down the back, having a conversation, and finding a group that's near you that might suit you to meet during the week. Of course, Vision Sunday is coming up very shortly, and also next week is our anointing service, which will be different for this year. We're not going to actually physically anoint everybody and touch them, just because we still had COVID-safe measures that we have to abide by, but it's going to be better than good. Everyone say better than good. It's going to be better than good next week, so make sure you're here for our anointing service. You know, when it comes to technology, who gets frustrated with technology? From time to time, I do, and you know, you just got to give it a boot every now and then. Sometimes literally, a boot, a reboot and reset. And the simplicity of technology and the beauty of it is this, is there's a button that you can press just to reset what's going wrong. And what happens is the codes that are misbehaving, the code in the technological device that's misbehaving is reordered. Those that are in a misbehaving state are reordered back to their default so that they work properly. I wish humans, I wish that God made humans like we make devices. I wish we came with a reset button in the middle of our forehead, just right there, so that when stuff in our world is not working, when we're stuck, you ever been stuck? When you're stuck and you don't know what to do, when you're misbehaving, anyone ever been misbehaving? Yeah, never. Of course, I'm talking to the wrong crowd today. But if you were misbehaving, that there would be just a button in your head that you could press and hold for a moment, and it just shuts down, and then you reboot it. And I wish it was that simple, but it's not. It is for technology, but not for human beings. Although the key is this, there is a button, and it's inside your head. It's not on your forehead, it's inside your head. It's called your brain. It's called your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, that you can reset, that you can reboot, that you can restart. The Bible uses the word renew, that we are renewed, transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the renewing of our attitudes, by the renewing of our thought world and our thought life. So I'm not sure what you're stuck in. I'm not sure what your misbehavior is. I'm not sure what your challenge or difficulty might be. But what I am sure of is this, is you can reset. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can. You can. You can. You can reset today for this new year. And look, to be quite honest, we all need to, particularly after a challenging 2020. So in 2021, we're resetting for a better future. For 2021, as a church, we're resetting our vision, which will be exactly the same as 2020, which is kind of unusual. But I feel like we missed out on so much in 2020 that we need to revisit once again and reset that same vision of moving life forward, moving family forward for 2021. So we reset for progress. We reset for a bigger future. We reset to advance. We reset to recover. We reset to revive. We reset to regain. We reset to move life forward. One of the things that I'm so thankful for as we've engaged 2021 is I'm just so thankful for people that are like sitting in front of me today and that are online today that have remained faithful, that have just remained faithful, faithful in connection, faithful in building community, faithful in contribution and honouring God, as Pastor Marichelle spoke about with our tithes and with our offerings. We've just remained faithful through a very, very challenging season. I'm so thankful for those that have continued to serve in God's house, in team, in various ways, and make church happen. That's three people that have clapped. When three people clap in our church, we all clap. I'm faithful for people that continue to do those kinds of things. I'm just thankful for people today that do what family do. You know, we all go through seasons, we all go through moments, we all go through challenging circumstances that come our way, and what tends to happen in moments of challenge is it steals our joy, it steals our peace, our equilibrium with our inner world and peace, and also steals our passion, and it comes through an experience, through a moment, through a letdown, or through a setback. And that really was what 2020 was all about. It was that moment for all of us where we kind of felt cheated, we kind of felt robbed, we kind of felt that stuff was stolen from us as individuals, as a nation, as a church through 2020. Some people fell into disappointment. Some people fell into discouragement. Some fell into disillusionment. Others fell into lifestyles of complacency and disengagement with God and disengagement with their church community. And so this series, Reset, is designed to help people come out of that place, to help them come out of that place that they found themselves in, and to do this, to reset, to take your life back, to reset, to take your life back. That's the reason we need to reset, to take back our joy, to take back our passion, and to take back our peace, to literally take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Jesus said this. He said, the enemy's a thief. He's a thief. He's a robber. His purpose is to steal and kill and to destroy. And then he says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Can you see the polar opposites of purpose here? The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Jesus says, I come to give people a rich and a satisfying life. Make no mistake about it, but the enemy is ruthless. He's a wrecker. He's a wrecking ball. He'll wreck your family. He'll wreck your life. He'll wreck your future. Whereas Jesus said, I'm a builder. I'm a builder. This is literally what he's saying. I'm a builder of life. I come to help people build a rich, purposeful, satisfying life. So here we are. We're talking about resetting. And what I want us to focus on is this, is that we are learning to think right so we can live right. We can learn to live right by thinking right. It is absolutely impossible to live a positive life with a negative mind. You can't live a positive life with a negative mind. So I want to ask some questions today. What I want to do is coach us today. And we're going to have a coaching conversation just about life is what we're going to do together. I want to ask these questions. Am I thinking right? And then the second question that goes with that, how do I know? Am I thinking right? And how do I know? How many of you have ever thought you're right, but it turned out you're actually wrong? Happened to me once. It's okay to think you're thinking right, but how do you actually know that you are thinking right? Because if you don't think right, you can't live right. That's the reality. If you don't think right, you can't live right. Thoughts are so powerful. They drive. They give momentum. They give direction to our life. So our thoughts are very, very important. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this, as a man thinks, so in his heart is he. And so our thoughts drive the direction, the understanding, the detail of our life. Literally, our life is a product of our thoughts. Our life is a product of our thoughts. That's why it's so important to, on a regular basis, reset. In a computer, every now and then you've got to defrag it. You've got to defrag it because in the memory, kind of data gets put all over the place and it's not structured and ordered as it should be. It's the same in a human being. Literally, we need to defrag our mind every now and then to make sure the right stuff is in our thought processes so we can live effectively. Here's the text I want to bounce off today. It's Proverbs 14:12, where it says, there is a way that appears to be right, that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. But in the end it leads to death. Just because it appears to be right doesn't make it right. Just because it seems to be right, it looks right, it doesn't make it right. Just because it feels right, it doesn't make it right. Because sometimes what appears to be right, the writer says here, actually leads to death. So if we don't get the thinking right, we'll be led by what appears to be right. What appears to be right is the warning that Solomon gives us. What appears to be right will ultimately lead to death. Not necessarily death in the natural, but death in terms of opportunity, death in terms of dreams, death in terms of family, death in terms of the things that lay before us in life. And so today, what I want to do is I want to outline six questions I want us all to really get good at asking of ourselves, to ask ourselves these questions about the way that we think to make sure that we are thinking right so that we're empowered to live right. The first big question is this, what are you focused on? What are you focused on? Are you focused on what happened back there? Are you focused on a mistake or a relationship that was lost? If you are, if you're focused on those kinds of things, can I say right up front, you've got to get your mind off that. You've got to get your mind off that person, that place, that moment, that event, and focus on things that matter. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. The things that really matter in terms of our focus as human beings to help us think right and also live right. You know, there's only about eight categories in life that are really important, that really matter. Not everything matters. Just because it exists doesn't mean it matters. You can do without a lot of the stuff in this world that exists, but there's about eight areas that are really pivotal for every human being. Unfortunately, most people focus on minors rather than majors. Focus on the minors rather than the majors, and therefore miss out on so much in life. So instead of focusing on what matters, their focus is in detail of things that really doesn't matter. Most people focus on regrets and mistakes. Most people live in that camp of focusing on their moments that they missed out, things they didn't do, or mistakes that they made, what they didn't get right, or what others think of them. This is what Paul says about that in Philippians 3. He says, I don't mean to say that I've already attained or achieved all these things, or that I've already reached perfection, but what I do is I press on. Turn to your neighbor and say, press on. Press on. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved, but I focus on this one thing. Would you say one thing?
One thing.
The key for Paul was I focus on this one thing. What's your one thing? I focus on this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. Here Paul gives us the real key. It's not to have too much in your focus. He says, I focus on one thing, I forget that and I look forward to that. I forget what's behind and I'm looking forward to what is ahead. I highlight that for us today because I want us all to understand we've all got a limited bandwidth. A limited bandwidth, which is technological language once again. You know, when your internet at home gets slow, it's because the bandwidth is not wide enough for it to flow through properly with speed. And the same it is with a human being and our capacities. We have a limited bandwidth when it comes to our ability to focus. And things that don't matter, if we focus on them, what happens is it limits our ability to master the things in life that really do matter. So what matters? What matters? faith. This is what matters. Faith matters. Faith matters first of all. God first in every place, in every space of our life. Living in alignment with God, living in agreement with God, living engaged with our spiritual development. Number one, our faith matters. The second thing that matters is your family and your friends. Those rich relationships that are going to empower the value of your life. They matter so much. And so we live engaged with family. Our relationships are gold to us. They are absolute gold to our life, and they add value to our journey. So our faith matters. Our family and friends matters. Thirdly, our fitness matters. You know, your body matters. You only get one. You can't go to a second-hand shop and buy another one. You only get one opportunity in the flesh that God has given you. So look after that temple. You can't go where your body won't take you. And if you don't look after it, there comes a day where the body can't and won't take you where you want to go, and then you're very limited. So here's my thought. Don't wait until your health is a mess to address it. Reset. Turn to your neighbor and say, reset. Reset. So that matters. What else matters? Emotional health matters. You know, the condition of your soul, your mind, it matters. Mental health really matters for human beings. Our emotional intelligence, understanding how our emotions work, our moods work, are very, very important for a human being. So that's another area that matters. The future you matters. The future you, the person you are becoming, because you're always becoming new, that really matters. So it's important that you develop yourself. It's important that you become the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. It's important that you understand what your significant contribution in life will be. So future you matters. Your career matters. Your business matters. That is really important because that empowers you to live your future. Money matters. Finances, that matters. It's really important how you do your money journey. It's important as a believer that we honor God first financially when it comes to our money. It's important that we move from dependency to prosperity and then to generosity. It's very important that we're all on that pathway so we don't remain dependent on the government. We don't remain dependent on each other, but we remain dependent on God, and God leads us in a lifestyle of prosperity and generosity. Fun matters. How many know fun matters? Turn to your neighbor and say, you need more fun. You need more fun. That's our social life, our recreational life. You know, in our church family, that's why Connect Groups are so important, because that's where you can have some fun and recreation together, and those activities will be what some of our groups will focus on come term two. I'm going to run one for guys that just meets in a cafe and eats food. That's my kind of recreation. Anyone else enjoy that? And so we're going to have different ways that we meet and greet in homes and restaurants and cafes and parks and whatever we need to do to make the journey fun with the people that we love. These are the things that matter. Most other things in life are just, they're just distractions. They're minors, they're not majors. And the trouble with distractions is this, is a lot of distractions aren't evil, they're not even bad, they're just not important. They're just not important. So if we are focused on the wrong things, we're not thinking right. Let's master the things we should really master. Second question is this, is what are your beliefs based on? This is a good question. What are your beliefs based on? Here's the thing to understand about this question. Everything you believe comes from someone. Everything you believe comes from someone. Now, we need to understand that, because occasionally you'll have people that'll try and change your belief, try and change your belief system, because they're not a believer and they're trying to change you. You need to understand this about them. They got their belief from the same place you got your belief. We all got it from someone. Every belief has a source, and it's important we understand that. In our childhood days, the frame of our world is defined by our parents, our school teachers, the big people in our life. And we absorb so much of our belief system from them. Be it right, be it wrong. And we grow up with that. The problem is a lot of us never challenge that. A lot of us never sit back and think, why do I believe this? Why do I believe that about life, about politics, about religion, about God, about faith, about people, about money? And mostly we believe it because that was our frame. We were formed that way. And it may be absolutely right, or it may be far from right. We need to go on a process of discovery, of relearning and learning what we learnt or unlearning what we've learnt, so that we can think right to live right. Here's my thought about my beliefs. I would rather base my belief on God's word than the words of an atheist, than on the words of a philosopher, than on the words of a theorist, a Darwinist, a humanist, or a Marxist. I'd rather base my belief on the word of God than on social media or a social influencer. Who is like, who even are you? I mean, who are these people that are social influencers? Just because they look attractive and beautiful and trendy doesn't mean what they believe is right. So know what you believe and why you believe it. What are your beliefs based on? God's word is a foundation for us to believe on, is what Jesus said. And he actually said to us this. He said, the man who builds his house on my word and puts it into practice, he's a smart man. The man who ignores my word and ignores putting it into practice is dumb. Smart, dumb. He's a smart man because when the storms of life come, the house and life that he builds will stand. The dumb one builds it having no regard for the foundation. It looks fine, but in the end, this is the verse, it appears to be right, but in the end. You see, it's what happens in the end that proves it. It's what happens in the end that proves it. And Jesus said, it will stand. You know, building your life on God's word and relationship with God and with God's people and with his church is just a smart way to frame our lives and our futures. Because if the belief foundations of our life is not right, then we're not thinking right. We're not thinking right. It might appear to be right. Just because it appears to be right doesn't make it right. It might look right. It might sound like it right. It might even feel right. But if it ain't right, it ain't right. And if it's not right, forgive the bad grammar, if it's not right, if we're not thinking right, then we're not living right. Thirdly, who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? You know, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam first sinned and Eve first sinned, what took place was God came along like he would every other day, and he called for Adam, and Adam's hiding because all of a sudden Adam realized that he was naked. Now, he'd always been naked. He just didn't know he was naked until he ate the apple and his eyes were opened and sin entered his heart and the world. And at that point, nakedness became something to be ashamed of. So God comes walking out and says, I'm hiding. Why are you hiding? Because I'm naked. And God's response to that statement was, who told you that? Who told you you were naked? Who told you nakedness was wrong? Now, it's wrong today. It's wrong today in public. It's very wrong. But before sin, it wasn't wrong. Before sin, it was natural. Before sin, it was beautiful. But now, it's awkward. Now, it's inappropriate. Like, if you were to come naked today, we would send you home. We would clothe you. We would cover you. We would find something. We would smother you. We would deal with it in some way because it's not natural now. But prior to sin, it was perfectly natural. So God says, who told you that? Who have you been listening to, Adam? Paul asked a similar question of the church in Galatia when he wrote to them. Because they'd started to drift away from the truth of the gospel as Paul had preached it and the grace of Jesus Christ that was given to them, and they drifted back into strife and following the law and keeping the Jewish law to be made acceptable to God. And Paul writes to them and he says, who have you been listening to? He said, who has bewitched you? Who has tricked you into thinking this? You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes in life that we listen to, voices we listen to. listen to, that it's just trickery, it's just witchcraft, it's just after our attention, it's after our ear, it's after our focus is what it's after. We need to understand every thought has a source. Every thought has a source. Know the source of your thoughts. Know the source of your thoughts, because what you give ear to leads you. What you give ear to leads your life. Jesus said it this way, my people, that's us, my people, they know my voice. They know my voice. They're led by my voice. He says, the voice of a stranger they will not follow. They will not follow the voice of a stranger. Why? Because it's strange. Because it's strange. My people, they know my voice, they hear my voice, they respond to my voice, because my voice is a safe voice. But he says the stranger's voice, it's strange. Like when I ring up people that I know, like my mum's here today. Welcome, mum. Good to have you in church today. When I ring up my mum, I don't have to say hi. It's Tony here. My mum knows my voice. I know her voice. There's no introduction needed, nothing else required. Whereas if I ring up a stranger, I've got to explain who I am, what I do, what I want. But when you've got relationship, you just know. You know when they speak to you. Here's the trouble with voices. If you listen to the wrong voices, you will not be thinking right. We need to shut down some of the voices that come into our world. Just because you read it on Facebook doesn't make it right. I mean, Abraham Lincoln wrote that on Facebook. He said, don't believe everything you read on Facebook. And he's been dead for eons before Facebook. Don't believe everything you read on social media. Don't believe everything you hear on the media. There's an agenda that they have. Don't believe it just because they say it. It doesn't matter what channel it's on. Don't embrace fake news. Always get to the source if you can get to the source, particularly in terms of the things that you're going to believe. Make sure you know who you're listening to. Here's a biggie for a lot of people. How do you feel? How do you feel? How are your feelings today? This matters a lot, because feelings come from thought. We feel as we think. We feel as we think. So if we want our feelings to change, we need to change our thinking and change our thoughts. There's a moment in the Bible, in the Psalms, where David, the psalmist, writes about some negative feelings he was having, because he was having a bad day. You ever had a bad day? Yeah. He was having a bad day. If you're going to live for a while, you're going to have a few of these, so you better listen. So what he does is when he's having this bad day, he talks to himself. Talking to yourself is healthy. In actual fact, some of you need to give yourself a good talking to. Talk to your... I talk to myself all the time. We need to talk to ourselves. David says this in Psalm 42:5. He asks himself, he says, why am I so discouraged? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I so sad? Why so sad? And he says, I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him again, my God and my salvation. You know, it's a good question when you're discouraged to ask yourself, why am I so discouraged? Why so sad? Why the long face? Why do I feel like I'm feeling? What David does is he starts to question his negativity. He starts to question his discouragement and depression. And he says, why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling so low? Why am I feeling so discouraged? And then he resets. He does what we're trying to do today. He resets his faith and his thinking again after he asks these questions. And he gives himself the answer. He says, I will put my hope in God again. And I will praise God again. You know, the first thing that goes when you get into discouragement and sadness and the pit of what's going on in your life is you lose your praise. You lose your praise. And praise is your power. There's no doubt about that. Praise is our power. And David realized that he'd lost his praise. And so to get his posture back, he re-engaged with his praise. And he says, I'm going to put my hope in God again. Who is the enemy? He's a thief. What's he come to steal and kill and destroy? Takes our praise. Takes our peace. Takes our posture, takes our our sense of God's presence in our life. Get your praise back. Get your praise on. You look better when you praise. It hides so much on you when you praise. It's like the covering for the nakedness of life that has come upon us. And we need to put it on again. That's what David said. Because, you know, the reality is, what David shows us is, we all have to deal with our feelings, and we all have moments when we get sad. We have moments when we get mad. We have moments when we're full of negativity. We have moments when we lose our focus. We have moments when we get down and discouraged, and even worse, for some, we get to a point of depression. Now, it is natural to get down, but it's a choice to stay down. It is natural to get down, but it's a choice to stay down. We all get down, but in your downness, find some uppity. Get up. Turn to your neighbor and say, get up. Get up. Get up. Up, and praise and people and God's presence will help us all get up. If you want to live your best life, you can't afford to be led by feelings. Can't afford to be led by feelings. Can't afford to allow feelings to be the dominant control factor of how we operate as a human being. Feelings are not directives. They are data. In other words, they don't have to be followed, but they must be acknowledged. You acknowledge them, but you don't have to follow and action anything from that signal that's sent to you about how you feel. So they're information, they are optional, they're not facts, they're fickle, they're often irrational. How many times have you ever felt something and thought, I don't know why I'm feeling this. I don't know why I'm feeling this. And it's at that point we've got to reset rather than respond and react and be led by those feelings. So don't let feelings get you to a place of despair and discouragement. Now, for all the feely-feely people in the room, because sometimes some people are feely-feely personalities. I'm not. I'm not a feely-feely personality at all. But some that I have met are feely-feely people. It's all about feelings. And you operate on that basis of what you feel in your gut, or you feel in your... If you're a feely-feely person, can I ask you to use your feely-feelingness to lead you to a better place, to better outcomes, and to a better state of mind, and not being controlled and manipulated by the feelings that you feel. We need to engage our mind so that we're led cognitively to where God wants us to be and to where God wants us to go. Learn to question your feelings. Why am I feeling so sad? Why am I feeling so depressed? Like David did, question them. Question your feelings like a boss. Like a boss. Be a boss when it comes to your feeling. In other words, boss those feelings. Lead those feelings. Direct those feelings in your heart, in your mind, in your life. And don't let the feelings get you off course. Don't let them mess up your day. Don't let them get you in a messed up frame of mind. Don't let them get you in a bad mood that ruins the day for everyone else. Be a boss. Turn to your neighbor and say, be a boss. Be a boss. Be a boss. You know, that statement simply means this. You are the boss. You are the boss of your life. Nobody else is the boss of your life, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your relationship with God, but you. You're the boss. We should actually all get a shirt with boss written on it. So we are self-identify as, I'm the boss. I boss. I boss my feelings. It means I lead them. I lead them. I don't follow my heart. I lead my heart. I lead my heart. If you don't think right, you're not going to feel right. If you don't think right, you're not going to feel right. So the way to deal with those feelings that are getting you into a bad place in life and with others is to lead them and start thinking right. What condition? We're almost there. What condition is your life in right now? This is a good question. What condition is your life in right now? And there's a portion in Proverbs I want to focus on for a moment. A few verses in Proverbs 24. The writer says this, I passed by the field of a sluggard. Unusual word, isn't it? A sluggard or a sloth, a lazy person. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man who lacks sense. And behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. So things are not in a good state of being. And then I saw and I considered it and I looked and I received instruction. In other words, God spoke to Solomon at this point, and this is what he learnt. He said, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. This is a great word picture, a great life lesson. We're here, Solomon saying, the condition of a man's life is due to his thoughts. The man who lacked sense, the man who had no concern for his future or for his life, he just let everything get out of control. He didn't have order and structure. He didn't have purpose. He didn't go to work, build his business, focus on the things that really mattered. He got distracted by everything else. I mean, a little folding of the hands, a little sleep, a little rest. I mean, that's good for all of us to do that, but it has its moments. It's not all the time to live that way. Now, this reflection that Solomon has is my prayer for all of us as we reset, as we capture this new season, because the condition of our life is due to the thoughts of our mind. The condition of our life is due to the thoughts of our mind. You know, you can put a messy person in a tidy room, and in no time at all, that tidy room will become messy. Or you can put a tidy person in a messy room, and in no time at all, that tidy person will make that messy room tidy. Because it's not about the space, it's about you. It's about our inner person. It's about who we are. It's about how we approach life. And we change it according to who we are. That's why somebody who has a poor soul and a poor understanding when it comes to money can win the lotto. No one in here is going to win the lotto because we don't play it. But they might win the lotto, and what will happen is they'll reduce that big win to the size of their soul, which is nil. In no time at all. And statistically that happens within the first 5 years of someone winning lotto on a regular basis, because they're not prepared for that big windfall. They haven't prepared their soul. They haven't grown themselves. They haven't enlarged into that space of life, and they've reduced it to who they really are. So the truth is, no matter who you are, where you've been and what you have, we all need to take ownership. We all need to take ownership of our life. Our life is our life. Take ownership of our surroundings. Take ownership of our thoughts. Every improvement that you make in your thoughts will be manifested in your life, in your routines, in how you do life with other people. God actually created us to take ownership. He created us to live with a sense of control, structure, responsibility. He created us to work and be productive. It's part of the promise. It's not part of the problem. Work is a blessing. Your business is a blessing. And we're to do it and become productive people. Paul says it in the New Testament. He said God's people should not live unproductive lives. We should not live unproductive lives. We should be resourceful. We should be creative. We should be imaginative. Thank you, Renee. Renee's my wordsmith down here. You should be an imaginative personality in the way that you approach life, in creating opportunities for your future. We are called to account by God to do something positive with our lives. And so the point of this one is right thinking results in order and control. Right thinking results in order and control. And then finally, my last question is this, is what direction am I headed? What direction am I headed? You know, direction is more important than speed. Because you can be going really fast, but if you're going in the wrong direction, you're actually going backwards. It's not about speed. It's about direction. What direction is my life facing? Are you directed towards a life of greater engagement with God, with His plan, with His purpose for your life? Are you engaged with a life of committing more and more to becoming who God designed you to be? Are you committed to engaging more in commitment to living the life God's called you to live with the people that are around and in your world? Don't run away from that. That's a God assignment. And don't play it safe. Playing it safe is dangerous. Playing it safe is dangerous when it comes to life. You know, one of the most regretful things that is in the mind of people when they are dying is it's the things they didn't do. It's the things they didn't do. a lot of times at death, where the Bible says, in the end, what appears to be right leads to death in the end. For a lot of people, when it's at the end, it's not the things they did do that's on their mind in terms of achievement. It's the things in life they didn't do. It's those moments they didn't take advantage of. It's the things they held back on, the things they hesitated with. It's the chances they didn't take. That's their biggest regrets. It's those mistakes in life. And, you know, the truth is that the pathway to a horrible life, the pathway to a bad future, is paved with good intentions. With good intentions, people that meant well. I mean, you can have good intentions. You can mean well all day long. But if you're not thinking well, you're going in the wrong direction. You're going literally the wrong way. And that's what the message of the gospel is all about. When Jesus came into this world, he tried to tell a world that was living by a plan that appeared to be right. He came with a big sign saying, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Because he was trying to stop people from wasting their life. And it doesn't matter who you are and how successful you are and even how happy you might feel right now. Just because it appears to be right doesn't mean it is right. Jesus came to show us what's right and to make it right. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to know the way, if you want to know the truth, and if you want to know the life, Jesus is it. He also said, the way to me is narrow. Highway to Hell, a long time before AC/DC ever sang it, is broad and wide. And those that come to me must come through that narrow gate, meaning the only way to God the Father is through what Jesus Christ, his Son, has done. And so direction is very important. Just because everybody's going that way doesn't mean that's the way you should go. It's not a wise way to live. You know, when Cheryl and I got married, we were on our honeymoon. We came to Brisbane from Gladstone. Never been to Brisbane before. Didn't know how to drive through Brisbane. That was the day before good signage and freeways, and I mean, we're talking horses and carts a long time ago. That's before a GPS system that where someone would robotically instruct you on what to do. So here we were. I was driving the car like a boss. So I did what I knew to do. I found a car with New South Wales number plates. And my plan was, I'll just follow them. Because I'm thinking, they're not going to stay in Brisbane. They'll be on their way through. I'll just follow them. Fortunately, everyone say fortunately. Fortunately, in that case, what appeared to be right was right. But it could have easily led us in anywhere. I mean, who knows where we could have ended up? Just randomly picking someone we don't know. I didn't know who they were. That could have been going anywhere. It could have been a crazy person. And I just hitched up with them. Like, I will follow him for just wherever they may go. I had no choice in it now because I was lost. I had to follow them. Do you know there are a lot of people that are lost and have just hitched up to someone else's number plate and they have no sense of control over where they're going? They're just going with the flow and they're going where they don't know. Direction is really, really important. Don't ever be afraid that you're the only one in your family that makes the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and to follow God and love God and serve God and become part of His church and receive forgiveness of sins. Don't ever be afraid that you're the first one, because chances are if you're the first one, you won't be the last one, because God's got a plan for everyone, not just someone. But His everyone plan starts with someone. And I want to talk to someone today. I'm talking to everyone, but there's a someone here today. There's a someone there today, online today. And someone needs to hear this thought important, this message today. Are you headed in the right direction? Because not every road is going to take you to the destination that God wants you to get to, where you need to be, where He's called you to be. Not every road is the same. All pathways do not lead to God, and I don't care who says they do, and whatever. It is only one road that leads to God, and it's in and through Jesus Christ. And you can't find relationship with God. You can't make yourself right with God. You can't be good enough. I can't be good enough. You can't buy it. You can't reserve it. You can't do anything but embrace it. The number plate you want to hook up to is heaven 777. That's Jesus' personal number plate. Heaven 777. Get off the highway of following the number plate hell 666. There's a big difference between 666 and 777. It might appear to be right, but in the end, would you stand to your feet? In the end, where will it be? In the end, where will it lead? What does it profit a man if in the end he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? Is what Jesus said. You know, the good news about the journey that you're on is this. If you go on the wrong way, you can simply stop and turn around. I've done that many times in a car. Where I've driven, I thought, I really don't know where I am right now. I think the best thing to do is just stop and go back and ask someone where to go. Now I've got a GPS, I don't need to do that. It just tells me what to do all the time. Make a U-turn. No, I don't feel like it. Make a U-turn. You can keep ignoring it. Just keep saying it. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. It's a little bit like God. It's a little bit like the Holy Spirit with people right now. You're going a different direction. It's like God saying, make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. You're going, no. Make a U-turn. No. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. Make a U-turn. No. You have a choice. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. God wants to make a way. While you got your eyes closed and you're in this moment, and we're in this moment together, if you're not going the right direction, now's the moment to change course and reset. And reset with purpose the direction of your life. Jesus died on the cross for that purpose. Jesus coming into our hearts and forgiving us of our sins helps us go the right direction. Right direction starts with right thinking, right foundation of belief, a connection with God. So today, if you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, if you've not engaged and embraced Him, then I want to give you the opportunity in this moment to do that right now. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for people to receive Jesus today, whether you're in this room or whether you're online. I'm going to pray a prayer right now. And if this is your prayer, why don't you own it? Why don't you own it like a boss right now? In Jesus' name. Father, I thank you today for people that are in this room, for people that are online today, people that are going the right direction. They're not bad people. They're just going the wrong way. And I pray today, help them to reset. Help them to make a choice to embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life is what I pray today. And to say yes to Jesus. And as they do, God, to be confident that you will turn things around, you will turn life around, you will get them going the right way to the right destination, the right direction. You will help them to think right so they can live right. You'd help them to have a foundation of belief that's going to hold them through the storms and the tests and the trials of life. So draw people to your heart and to your home and to your family right now is what I pray, Jesus, and come into their lives and make everything right is what I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're in the room today and you made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to let someone know today. I'd love you to come and see me. I'll be down the front for a few moments. Just come and introduce yourself. Just come and say hi. I just want to meet you if you've made that decision today. If you're online today, in the link column, there'll be a link tree. You can press that today and that'll take you to areas where it'll answer any of your concerns that you have about knowing God, following God, connecting with church, whatever it is that you might need. Let us know today that you've made that decision. We'll do everything that we can to help you in the journey of knowing God better and going the right way. We're going to finish this morning by singing once again that new worship song that we learnt this morning. Why don't you lift your hands, lift your voice, and let's take a few moments to worship God together as we draw our service to a close today. Thank you.